as a people. We've got to meet and know like yourselves. There's others that have moved off, moved away in different states and cities. And it's going to be a great, blessed time when we all have what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb and come together with all the people as God, I believe, will even share in that 1,000-year millennium. I kind of see part of that being where God just shares with all of the people up in heaven what's been done for his glory on the earth. And God will be able to do that in a very, very public way, I believe, in heaven. So tonight, what you have in your hands here is the income and expense. I'm going to kind of just go through that in a moment, and we'll be missing some details on this as well. But I first want to kind of give an overview and ask you guys, first of all, how many folks in this sanctuary tonight were not here for last year's first annual business meeting? How many were not here for that? Okay, so probably about one-fourth of you and so forth. So I'm going to go into all the details that I went through last year for the sake of those who were here last year, but I do want to go through some details for the sake of you guys that were not here last year as well. To kind of talk a little bit about that, about the background of the church, some of the things we do here in the church as far as governmental things go, and some of the victories we've had in the past as well, and some of the details in the financial realm. I also want to have the financial committee members here have an opportunity to share some things tonight. I've asked them by emails and so forth to be thinking of things they could share, want to share about, and that'd be a blessing as well. We have Anson Thomas back here in the back. And of course, you have Patrick Asiata right up here. And then we have Jack Adams right over here. And then we have over here Dave Sanders. And these guys are all serving on our financial committee and are a great blessing to meet with us once a month, usually on Wednesday nights, and thrash through all the details of the finances for the church. I said last year there's a threefold purpose, primarily to have what I see myself as these business meetings, which we plan on making an annual event. I use the acrostic last year of ART. When it's done right, it'll be an art. But if it's done wrong, you can take and jumble those up there, because the ART stands for accountability and responsibility and trust. We want to gain and show and display accountability. We want to also show and display responsibility, and also to gain trust, because so many things have happened even in local churches across the world, not just in America. It's actually helped many congregation members lose trust in local churches and in leadership. And I want to say again that when we first became pastors here, we'd pastored in Kansas for 3.5 years, and we actually went on kind of like a backside of the desert for a while, and we first moved to Austin, Texas, and we served for 9 years at Shoreline Christian Center, 5 years of that as missions pastors. And I didn't know if I'd ever be a senior pastor in any church ever again, but I told the Holy Spirit as the years are going by, if we ever do pastor again, I want to make sure that we're going to be in a place where there's already a building, where we don't own the land, we don't own the building, and we actually are under authority of some group, and we don't have the ability to take and actually sell everything that's here, skip the country, and live on whatever the proceeds are from the sale of that. And I just want to make sure it's going to be something where there's actually an equal opportunity thing for the people in the congregation to also know what's going on with the finances. And so all the things, details we left there and put out for this pastoring of this church here, God met those criteria, and I thank God for that as well, because I've seen those things abused so much, especially by independent spirit-filled churches. We're not an independent spirit-filled church. I'm not saying all those that are evil and bad, but I've just seen abuses take place where because there was not accountability, there was not responsibility, there was not trust being built, they broke trust in many ways. If it's not done right, this ART can spell R-A-T, I spell a rat, or it can spell T-A-R, let's tar and feather the pastor and his wife, put him on a rail and get him out of town as fast as possible. We're trying to avoid the rat and avoid the tar and keep into the art, amen? And so with God's grace and help, we'll stay with the A-R-T here for this acrostic tonight. I want to rehearse again and briefly the governmental part of this church is a Tree of Life Church. We have a financial committee, and I already mentioned the names of the people that serve on that. We meet monthly together, we examine the finances, decide expenditures, set budgets, we manage debt, we determine raises, we determine bonuses, gifts, and giving. In general, these guys provide oversight to us in these meetings. Cheryl also comes in there and sits on the meetings, and she takes notes and types things out, and we appreciate all the counsel we get from these men. They've been steadfast and good, and there's a bit of a covenant there with us as well. And we appreciate the time they serve with us. So there'll be times in the future where we'll bring in other financial committee members. We're still praying about the setting in of elders for the church this year at some point. I'm trying to get a real piece of timing about that as well. And I want you to understand in a nutshell again that elders and deacons, and deacons are like financial committee members as well as our ushers, our deacons, and folks that help out and serve in all capacities are deacons. But elders are those that the Bible says rule well, and they actually have government on them. They're actually able to teach. They're able to actually bring out teachings to people, be heard and listened to, and people want to hear them teaching also. So that's, in a nutshell, elders and deacons differentiation, okay? So there's generally three options for senior pastors, what they're now calling lead pastors more and more in America, in local churches concerning the realm of finances as far as government goes. One philosophy is there's a thing called sole authority. Sole authority is where the senior pastor has sole authority over the finances and church property. He usually has one administrator that works right alongside him, that works him almost on a daily basis. The people of these congregations are often given a pie chart only annually, the congregation members are, to explain finances, and they're not encouraged or informed that they have the ability to see the church books if they want to. And so you'll find many churches, again, that are more independent-type churches, have a sole authority type thing, whether it's a pastor, an administrator, perhaps. It may be his wife is administrator, and all they get the congregation member, if anything at all, is a pie chart. And people are not encouraged to check things out or ask questions. In fact, I know of one pastor, when somebody in the congregation asked him if I can see the books, the administrator said, if you want to see the books, there's the door. This probably is not a church for you to be at, okay? So that's where we want to avoid that extreme. That's one extreme that's there that we want to really try to avoid. The second kind of authority figure structure here is no authority, where the senior pastor, lead pastor, is simply a preaching pastor who has nothing to do with the finances at all. And local church is solely, he's solely there to preach, to teach, to do weddings and do funerals and do other pastoral duties. This is a board-run church and is common among many denominations. So you have the board that runs the church, runs the finances, and they simply hire a preaching pastor. And many churches that are denominational there even have the ability to take and make sure the pastors rotate out every 2 or 3 years. The church I spoke at in Myanmar was a church like this, and they told me that we make sure our pastors rotate out every 3 years. And the sad thing to me was, and I saw that pastor with him for a little while there, I didn't sense any zeal. I didn't sense any passion. It's kind of like he already knew, well, I'm just kind of here filling a role for 3 years, and I'll be out in a few months here, so why should I really be excited about what I'm even doing here? And Cheryl and I did one seminar on rock music at a big denominational church in West Texas one time. About 500 folks were there, and they had the whole entire wall, about as big as our back wall in the middle part here, plastered with former pastors. I looked at the dates there. Each one lasted 1 year. Every year, a new pastor came in the church. I thought, how in the world can they ever set a vision or get momentum or have any kind of a relationship kind of thing built here by rotating folks out that soon, that quick? The third kind of authority figure is what we have here is what's called shared authority. A financial committee and the senior pastor, lead pastor, works together on financial issues and decisions with mutual respect and cooperation among each other. And so through that, these guys, we help to set budgets. We see what's coming in, what's going out. We talk about debt reduction. We talk about what's priorities as far as spending goes for the future, and talk about what we should do, for, like I said, in detail on bonuses, raises, things of that nature for our staff and for benevolence and for missions giving. All these things are talked about among us in these meetings as well. And so to end briefly now, the next part is number two is about history. And I want to remind you guys again that this whole church began about 20 years ago called First Family Church with Mickey Patterson. This church again was bought when an International Pentecostal Holiness Church crumbled and fell and it was going down the tubes. They sold their property for $100,000 and they paid cash for the land that this building and the front part of our building or property is on. They paid $100,000 cash for that. Then they also erected a steel frame structure. And back in that era, you had Dave Sanders was here. You had Mickey Patterson was here. And then I think as time was going by, I think if I'm getting my timing right here, Mickey Patterson was kind of on the way out as soon as that building got built. Is that right? The metal structure was built, and then Mickey Patterson was kind of going out. It was John Chasteen totally when the metal building went up there. And with John Chasteen and Dave Sanders and Greg Shook and Cass Torres, who went to be with the Lord several months ago as well, Dave Gibson and other members, Alan Hawes, folks that were here back in that year I don't even know about, they did all the sheetrocking, they did all the laying of carpet, they did all the painting, all the mud tape float and all the things you see here besides the steel structure itself. These guys worked day and night, blood, sweat, and tears, and put it all together. And we just still to this day say thank you, Jesus, and praise God for all the work those guys did to get the structure going. So that took place about 20 years ago for several years. Moving on here, after Mickey departed, John Chasteen came in, took over, renamed the church Family Faith Center. We took a church over ourselves 13 years ago. John Chasteen was here 5 years. We took a church over ourselves 13 years back. And then after about 2 years into this church, we renamed the church Tree of Life Church. I explained that in Newcomers Luncheons, where that name comes from. So you've all heard that before, I'm sure, as well, from those luncheons. The church was built with much of the work being done, again, by congregation members. Then a daycare was began back in that era as well. And, of course, the daycare began to prosper, be blessed. And so the daycare actually ended up paying most of the bills of the church, because the church went from about 75 to 100 and some people in attendance down to about sometimes 20, 15, 17, or whatever on Sunday mornings were here. We first took a church over 13 years ago. So without that daycare being here, the church probably would not be able to pay the bills and would have had a very, very rough time. But God used that daycare to make sure it stayed afloat. And they were a blessing for several years here in the congregation, even when I was first pastoring here. When Pure and I took the church over, Cheryl and I came 13 years back. The church grew to 75 people in our first month. We tried to exercise ethics. The daycare was making a good profit. The church began flourishing. In 2004, we put on the 20 feet down at the end over here, where it's called the checkerboard rooms to me, where the checkerboard floors are at for the nurseries. And also the youth room was also built upstairs. That 20-foot addition required a loan of $140,000 to build that out. And the plan was the daycare was making so much money back then, they would easily make those payments for the $140,000, which is what they were doing for several years. By late 2005, we completed extensive upgrades, renovations to the property by replacing all these chairs. When I first came here, we had kind of thin little worn-out chairs from Sam's or something. And praise God, we got to replace those. The chairs you're sitting in right now, and they've been good, comfortable chairs that have been very durable, held up very well for us. We bought the chairs. We recarpeted all the building that needed new carpet, repainted all the walls, put in laminate flooring down the hallways downstairs here. We doubled the size of the front parking lot. We added a light out there. We installed the large playground on the corner over here. We added a storage room behind her. There's actually a built-in storage room that's 30 feet wide, 15 feet deep, because there was no storage in the building to speak of. We put in underground irrigation for the property and landscaped the entire property as well with the trees and shrubs you see right now that are very well established. We paid cash for all these renovations, so praise God for that also. Everything was renovations. It was done here inside, outside. We got to pay cash for all of that. There was no debt incurred at all, so we thank God for the people being generous, and the daycare also helped towards that. In 2008, we purchased the 2.1 acres of land behind us where this other parking lot is at, and it goes right on down to the dry creek bed over here. We paid $351,000 for that land. We paid $90,000 in cash down, and so took on a debt for the rest. That's about $260,000, $50,000. We actually ended up paying about $100,000 down, and we borrowed $250,000 towards that land behind us. The man who owns this land is BJ Electric, owns his own company. He gave us a 15-year loan at 7%, and that was, again, about 9 years ago, eight years ago. And so now we have seven more years to go. The land's paid off. We now have the land paid down to $130,000 from $250,000. So we paid $120,000 of the land off in the past 7 years here. The asphalt parking lot behind us cost $40,000 to put in. We paid cash for that. That was a blessing from somebody in the church as well to get that paid for back then. In 2008, in March, we began this 30-foot sanctuary addition that actually is right here from that kind of hump right there on over to here, and made this place from 40 feet wide to 70 feet wide, and put the new foyer in over here, put the ramp on the front as well, moved the cross to the back, and then after it's all done, said and done, we also put in, of course, a screen and some new sound equipment. We took a $20,000 loan for that. This 30-foot addition cost us $370,000. The congregation paid $120,000 in cash towards that debt or that need. So it was a $250,000 debt that was incurred with that. We We secured a loan from Austin Telco Credit Union for $250,000 at 7.5% for 20 years for the rest. And that debt also has gone from $750,000 to today is at $617,000. So we paid $141,000 off on the 30-foot addition, or on the debt that's all rolled together for the building. It's gone down by $141,000 since building this, and the land's gone down $220,000 since acquiring that as well. So we praise God for those two things going down as much as they have gone down. In January 2009, the estimated market value of our building and our property in 2009 was at least $1.5 million on the low end. And we just had a Baptist group here, a church group. These are African Americans. Have got a thriving Baptist church out by Wells Branch. They're trying to find 5 acres of land somewhere in the Pflugerville area to build their new sanctuary and church onto, or find an existing building to fit their congregation. They found that today, 5 acres of land near our church right now is selling for $3 million. We own about almost 6 acres of land. Just the land alone, we own 6 acres plus the building on that. And so we are in no ways at all anywhere near upside down on our loan. We, if you took those two figures and added those together, what do you get, Kristen? We owed, well, it's on this other sheet here as well. If you look at those two figures, I want to take time to make sure we know what this looks like. The debt that's still owed, I'll make sure we get this straight. We currently owe $130,000 plus we owe $370,000. Okay, we added this for $370,000. We owe $617,000 plus $130,000. We owe $47,000. $747,000 what we owe, and the property is worth at least $3 to $4 million right now if we were to sell the whole thing. And so, praise God again, the thing's coming down more and more and more. One of our goals here is to eventually roll this whole debt into one debt and then refinance one more time and bring our interest rate down from 7% down to, we hope, like 5% or so, which would be a big savings as well. And even better than that, of course, we get it paid down even more, even faster in the days ahead. Okay? Our payments on this, you can see in the breakdown for expenses and income, it equals about $8,000 a month we're paying for land and for building all mixed together, which would be, again, a reasonable price for this property. If you're going to try to rent something like this, it'd be much, of course, higher than that. The third thing I wanted to talk about briefly here is adjustments and victories since the past couple of years has gone by. Last year in 2015, we made good progress in stabilizing and paying off miscellaneous debts. Those who were here last year realized back in 2013, we actually had a real battle where the daycare began coming to a point where, because of the recession happening, a lot of our daycare children went into their own grandparents' houses or into cheaper daycares in homes. And so when they did that, we didn't know this, but our daycare director was bringing in what they call government pay children, subsidized children, and their tuition was only half what the other full pay guys were. So it means our income was getting cut back, but our payroll was the same. We didn't even know that was even going on. And so we had somebody come in from another daycare by Sam's Club to audit this place, and they said, this is what's going on here. You guys have over one-third of your children are now government-subsidized kids, and you also have way too much staff. And we got to the point at the very end of the daycare existing where the church actually was paying money itself to keep the daycare open. You can't have a daycare where the church is paying to keep it open. It was $1,000 one month, then $2,000, then $3,000, then it was closed, because it's just getting too much. At the same time, the church itself had plateaued a bit as far as the giving had gone in the church. And so we were having a challenge ourselves making the bills being paid. So we went through a whole lot of drastic cuts in our budget. We took and cut everything we could cut in our church as far as expenses go. We cut back salaries, payroll quite a bit as well. We cut back all gas allowances, all telephone allowances, bonuses, things like that got cut way back. No, I was at one point giving gifts to all of our volunteers here. Every time it was your birthday or anniversary, I'd send out at least $15, $25 to honor all of our volunteers, because I mean, I've kind of seen volunteers, I think, to my own thinking, get abused sometimes in churches, so I want to be able to reward them and bless them somehow. So he's giving out little gift cards and gifts like that Then at Christmas time, he's also giving out little gifts to all of the volunteers around Christmas, as opposed to a Christmas banquet for volunteers. And so those things all had to get cut off as well. And we cut things right down to the bone. We came to the place where all of a sudden we're balancing the budget. The daycare is shut down, though. It's gone now. And so we find ourselves in 2014, 2015, scrambling to go ahead and pay things off and get to a stabilized realm. Because, unfortunately, back in that era, we had to go ahead and take and hold some of the payroll checks for a little while by people who were getting paid, like James, like Kristen, and even like Cheryl herself. So 2014, we were paying back all these held back payroll checks, which wasn't just a huge, huge amount, but it was big enough, and it did get paid off. And then the very, very last part, we went ahead and tackled Cheryl and got her payroll checks given back to her back in 2015, last year. That was also a blessing as well. Same time, Chad and Amanda Lewis, who is our youth pastors, they had given the daycare an $8,000 loan to keep it going for their children's sake, especially back in March of 2013. And so when they shut the daycare down, we still owed them, I think it was about $3,000 to $4,000. And so in 2015, last year, we paid all the amounts still owed to them, which is a little bit over $2,000, got them totally paid off. Then Dave Sanders helped us go ahead and purchase a nice zero-turn Hustler lawnmower, so we can now cut the grass ourselves. We were paying about $300 to $400 a month to mow the grass here and edge here. And I said, I can do that myself. I just need a riding lawnmower. I can't do this with a push mower. I tried it for a few times. It's just too much work. It just takes too long, okay? And so he financed the lawnmower for us at 0% interest, and we paid him off last year, 2015, as well. Lawnmower's paid for, and I'm still cutting grass and still edging, but I'm getting a whole lot of good help from A.D. Lucero, people like that as well, as far as trimming shrubs, and people come out here and volunteer, so I appreciate all the help we're getting in those realms. So those are good victories from 2015 as well. There was a loan on a van for the daycare that was $3,600 at Flint DeShazo. They loaned us 0% interest. We paid him totally off last year as well. And then also we took the Visa credit card of the church and took out a First Texas Bank loan at about, I think it's about like 5%. We're paying $300 a month on that. It's now paid down to $3,000 this month. And so that's about the only outstanding debt we have now in those little outside debts is that First Texas Bank loan of $3,000 and the land and the building. So we're praising God for that. There's still funds owed to Cheryl and I as time goes by, but as we've told the financial committee here, that's going to be totally on the back burner. We're not worried about ourselves getting paid back until we see everything in this whole church settle down and paid off itself. And that's getting very, very close to being done with that First Texas Bank loan getting wiped out. Okay, so we set a goal with the financial committee's advice to try to always have $5,000 in savings. Right now, today, there's actually $4,000 in there. We'll be putting more and more in this month as well as we can. And so for a long time, for 2014 especially, that was about a $200 balance or $150 balance, because what was coming in was going out. And so it's our desire to have $5,000 at least in there, because sometimes air conditioners break down. Sometimes power goes off on our AC units outside. Sometimes the sewer backs up and the motor blows. I'm just saying sometimes things happen and we need to have money involved or money set aside for things like that, okay? So that's going into the savings realm as well. As far as extra income for our church goes, there's the Kenyon Church still meeting here on Sunday afternoons. It gives us $300 a month to rent the place out. We're being very, very generous to them. They could not find any place like this for that kind of money, and we're trying to be nice to them and generous to them as well, sowing into them, but it does help us out. Their $300 a month is kind of earmarked to pay for all the cleaning for the church. That pays our cleaning bill by Vanguard every month, the Kenyans coming in here and doing what they do. Then there's a homeschool group that meets here on Wednesdays, and those guys have been paying us, I think it's average is about $200 or so a month for the year. They're in here for 9 months out of the year on Wednesdays only, doing homeschool curriculum stuff in the classrooms upstairs, downstairs, and they've been a blessing as well. At the same time, we cut expenses a lot by having some great volunteers again, like AD, like the Munchakas, like other folks here, the Wassons and other folks here, the Pittmans, people in our church are stepping up, Dave Sanders, and I can't name all the, I'm always going to leave somebody out here, but I'm seeing all the guys that are here pretty much are volunteers, and they're doing work together to make sure that we're not paying for contractors to do all the things they were doing in the past. Even the painting that was done a week or two back, that saved us hundreds of dollars by not having all that paid by con- for by contractors, and we've got free paint given to us and a lot of that. And so those things all add up and help us out to see things being cut. Yes, Luke did all this here, found the material free, and then actually put it all together for us, got the walls done, and did things out there in the foyer as well. And I think even some furnishings that are here, Luke's brought in here. So there's just so many people have done so many good things here to help us out. We appreciate that. The cleaners and the workers here, the cookers, bakers, and all the people have done things. Just appreciate your help with that. And anybody here that loves to edge, just feel free to call me up here. I don't mind edging. It's okay, but it takes longer to edge than mow. And it's good to get help because it's going to be a real wet, wild, sunny, grass-growing spring and summer. Amen? Praise God for the rain.
Amen.
Extra blessings. Right now, we're moving also towards having a Mother's Day Out program. Kristen's involved in this right now. That's why we're trying to get the place kind of spruced up downstairs, especially first, then upstairs next. Because in August, when August comes and goes, we're going to be advertising all we can. Let the community know we're going to have a Tuesday and Thursday Mother's Day Out program to bring their children here that are ages 6 months old to 4 years old. So even now, think about your neighbors or friends who have 6 months old to four-year-olds. You might want to come to that, and they pay a low tuition. And the good thing about Mother's Day Out program is if we can give the gospel to them, we can give them Bible stories, and we can spread the kingdom of God in their hearts and lives. But at the same time, also, we can take and see our building being utilized on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays every single day for something good for the glory of God as well. So Kristen's going to work on that, be praying for her, putting all the things together. I think in Pflugerville, this thing could fly. There's some churches around us that have similar things going. And that's something, again, that would be very, very a big blessing to us potentially in the realm of finances for the church as well. Another good thing about a Mother's Day Out program is they don't have the same regulations that daycares have got. Daycares have got tremendous regulations. You have to have inspectors coming in here, and folks are watching things all the time, and you got to have a certain kind of playground equipment and certain depth of rocks on your playground. There's all kinds of details that I don't have to have that for the Mother's Day Out program, but still be safe because we're set up for that already from the daycare that was here. Okay, let me see here. We continue now to receive more than we spend so far in this church every month. Now, you're going to see here by the chart I give you here, the income and expenses to all the congregation, as I kind of stopped there for a minute on that point, it shows here the total income last year was $326,013. That was income. You see it's tithes and offerings, it's designated giving, it's rebates and refunds, it's also building rental income from the other ministries. Designated income giving, what that means is people that give towards youth camp, youth tuition, children's camp, children's tuition, love offerings for guest speakers, fundraisers, all these things are called designated giving. Folks that give to missions, building program, this all goes under designated giving. The other part is pure tithes and offerings coming to Tree of Life Church that goes right into the checking account to go to the needs of our church itself. And then you'll notice the expenses at the bottom here is $326,242. So the Bible says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to riches and glory in Jesus Christ. That's cutting it pretty close to me. You're talking about we are actually in the red, $150, according to what this says right here. We actually spent about $100 more than we actually took in. But the good news is there's actually $5,000 of being paid to the debts to the payroll checks of Chad and of Cheryl. And there's one more thing. It was that third thing. Yeah, that was right. The lawnmower. Those were three debts that equal over $5,000 that actually were paid last year, okay? So that actually almost puts us more in the black than what it looks like. But it does mean we must be diligent in the realms of giving and tithing and so forth, because what you do here does make a difference. You can see that in those numbers. Okay, now, my closing remarks here in this part here, I want to say we did have an accountant, who's Shannon's accountant. Shannon Porterville's accountant came to us in 2014, 2015. And in January of 2015, he wrote out a report to us. He audited our books, looked our books over, looked at past years as well. But many looked at 2013, that year itself, primarily to see where the church was at. if there's any kind of a misspending of finances or misspending of money, if there's anything unusual happening in income and expenses. He looked over all the books that came in for 2013 especially. And so he wrote here, this three little paragraphs he wrote is this: at the request of your pastor and financial committee, I reviewed the financial books of your church, some of the related financial aspects of your church as well. I met with your pastor Mike, with Kristen, with Shannon Porterfield in November. At that time, I toured your facilities and was given access to the financial records and the reports. As you are aware, the financial records are maintained utilizing the software program known as QuickBooks. Now, one thing about QuickBooks is Kristen's been learning that, using that, but praise God, our newest financial committee member named Patrick knows even more about QuickBooks probably than Kristen does. He's going to take some time to train her even more so in using QuickBooks. QuickBooks is very, very tricky in some ways, and she needs to be able to even learn some more things about that. It's going to be a blessing to help us out. QuickBooks, he says, is a widely acceptable means of financial record keeping. The program can and does have the capability of producing various reports that may prove beneficial, helpful in the administration of your church and its records. And even though previous financial records have not been reviewed by an outside and uninterested person, it was determined that the scope of this review would be limited to the calendar year 2014 because no discrepancies were discovered during this review. I do not believe it would be prudent to review any previous years because he found no discrepancies in 2014. It was all just pretty much the same thing every year, just different figures. Okay, so I appreciate that. This pie chart that Dave Sanders put together today, this is what you get again by most of your independent type churches, a pie chart like this. And I appreciate Dave doing this. But one thing it shows here again is the biggest two segments here is debt payments equal 31% of our income, debt repayments, and then salaries, payroll equals, that number is in the dark here. It looks like, is that number say 37% or 27%? 37. Payroll and salaries, 37%. And then the rest of it's all down here. It's broken down with camps, conferences, benevolence, events, missions, gifts, and medical, and then maintenance, 13%, and so forth. And we can make that available to you for you to see as well. But one thing Dwayne Johnson, this accountant, said, he said the normal church our size, he said you guys are a little bit lopsided in two areas here. He said most churches our size, the payroll and salary is 50% of their income, not 37%. So you guys are a little bit underpaid in your church as far as your staff and your leaders go. He said, but also your debt, the normal church your size has about 10 to 15% goes to debt reduction, not 31%. So that's our goal, to get the debt reduction thing payment. It's not 31%, it's more like 15%, about half of that. And that takes place by us absorbing the debt into one lump, into a smaller interest rate is one thing. Also paying off that First Texas Bank thing. That's all going to come down in due time. But so far, we're praising God for the needs being met with all of that as well going on. Okay, now I was back here in the realm of closing remarks. Cheryl and I understand that we are simply stewards in God's kingdom. We don't own anybody, nor do we own this property or what's in it. We understand that and realize that we're only stewards of what God gives us. Amen. The financial committee has shown their appreciation for having some skin in the game by giving the church loans in the time of leanness. Appreciate people again like James, like Kristen, like Cheryl. People in the past there actually would let us hold their paychecks for 1 week or 2 weeks, sometimes for 3 weeks, and even reimbursements were being paid back sometimes a little slower. Now today we don't owe anybody reimbursements, we don't owe anybody payroll checks. That was taken care of months and months and months ago, but I appreciate those guys in that time of challenge of holding on to that, letting us hold on to some things for 2 or 3 weeks before paying those things that were there. Special thanks to our staff. We have also agreed to not be paid back ourselves till other folks have been paid back. The church books are always open. We're open to questions all the time about the realms of money or finances. One thing, again, we cannot do is let you know who gives what in the church. We don't just wonder how much somebody gives here. We can't share that with you guys, of course. And also, I want to encourage you guys, be faithful in giving. Those of you that are still having a battle in the realms of faith about releasing the full tithe, the Bible says do bring that in the storehouse. I encourage you guys also, if part of your tithe is going to missions or going to other ministries, realize in due time that really is your offerings. Your tithe belongs in a storehouse like this. Your offerings belong to missionaries and Joyce Meyer and Andrew Womack and other people of that nature. And so if you can, as time goes by, say, God, Father God, help me have the faith or the ability to bring the full tithe in the storehouse, release those offerings to those other ministries as I can do that above and beyond what the tithe is in my life as well. I want to say here some questions that were asked even my financial members a year or two back was, how do we pay our guest speakers? How do we treat them? We do, when guest speakers come to our church, we do make sure we pay for their hotel room. We do make sure we give them a meal even that we pay for ourselves. And all that comes in the love offering, we actually give them right to the dollar what comes in to them. So we don't take and subtract their hotel expense and their traveling expense or their meals from their love offering. We actually give it all to them. Now, if they actually do come to our church and say, I want to fly business class, and it's going to cost about $3,000 more or $500 more to do that, well, that will come out of their love offering. Okay, that's a matter of ethics. So I believe I live by do unto others as you have them do unto you. I was a guest speaker myself. I have been for 20 years, 15 years, whatever. I think I know what it's right to treat guest speakers like. Amen? Because I have been to many churches in our Rock Seminar days. Even Cheryl would see it herself sometimes. For our Rock Seminars, sometimes bring in a $700 or whatever dollar offering, and we'd hear the deacons in the back talking among themselves saying, well, that guy ain't worth that kind of money. They give us a check for $250, and they keep $400 for the church. And so I'm saying that is really unethical. Amen. People are giving to that ministry. It should go to that ministry, or don't have them come. Either just don't invite them, don't have them come, or give them what is theirs. Amen. The Bible says the worker is worthy of his wage. So we're trying to be wise in those realms. One question was asked, does the church ever pay any late fees? Did we pay any late fees, as far as you know, last year on anybody? On bills? Was there late fees involved? A mistake of... Right. So we had no late fees at all last year due to we could not pay the bill. We had paid all the bills on time. If anything was not paid on time, it's because I might have put something in a crack somewhere or might have got misplaced for a few days. And we'll make phone calls on that and say, would you please forgive us? We lost your bill for 2 weeks and we found it and here it is. And I normally forgive those, okay? So that's true. The third question was, does the church pay for my trips to go overseas when I do go to Myanmar, when I go to Africa, whatever else? Is that taken from the church budget to get me over there? The answer is no. All those funds come from people that supported us over the years. I send letters out to folks I've known over the years as well to raise funds. And so far, all the needs have been met from doing that. I don't need to have the church giving me any money to send me to places overseas. Okay, so I appreciate that also. That's been going on with God's help. So let's be looking at the wish list here. I'm going to have Jack Adams or have Dave Sanders and Patrick and have Anson here. You guys can weigh in as well and say some things perhaps, and also open up to some questions, some answers, comments you guys may have yourself. But as far as our wish list goes, some things we identified here is we want to have that First Texas Bank loan paid off, that $3,000 come down to zero. That would be equal to giving the church $300 a month in income, because that $300 a month is not going out to an expense. It stays here, okay? So we're praying about that. One thing we mentioned in the past, on the fifth Sunday of every of the years, there's like four Sundays or 4 months out of the year that have five Sundays in them. We've been using that in the past as what we call a harvest offering. Well, some of us got confused by that and they kind of thought, well, it sounds like the entire tithes and offerings that Sunday all goes to debt reduction. We can't really afford to do that. What it means was you asked folks to give above and beyond their tithes. And the above and beyond amount was going to go to debt reduction or a need in the church had, okay? So we're going to look at that more so next time we meet as well. When those fifth Sundays come, we're going to say, could they be used for that $3,000 debt? Get that thing paid off faster, quicker, so forth. We'll look at that. One thing we have on our wish list is a shade cloth for our big playground out here. It's been off for a couple of years now. I'd like to replace our shade cloth. It's going to be about $1,000 to $1,500. And also the flooring out here in the hallway is 11 years old. Okay, that's our laminate flooring. It's showing its age a bit. So we see that getting replaced or covered up this year sometime as well. So that's our main thing here. Am I missing any wish list things that you guys have talked about on the financial committee here? Okay, anything you think about, just bring that out as well. All right. That's the main things I had to share and talk about here. I wanted to kind of go through this here in my brain just quickly here, this Tree of Life, this financial report here. One thing somebody had a question about here was, why was medical expense $8,700? This actually is, it's actually the premiums paid on medical insurance as well as the co-pays with that. The church has been very generous as far as thus goes here to pay our premiums. And then also we pay part of the co-pay. I get a budget every month here for medical. And so this is all going towards co-pay, towards premiums as well. So it's not just buying prescription drugs. It's actually all those things combined with our premiums every month with that. So in that figure. Trying to look on down here as well. Was there one more item that was a bit of a question? Oh, yeah. Somebody was asking, why is there not a separation here of the budget for youth and for children's ministry and women's ministry and men's ministry? That's one thing, again, that Kristen, you got to understand, she works very hard here as children's pastor and admin both. Appreciate the work she does. But it's going to take her many more hours, again, to break down what is actually accurate. Because right now the figures we have, if we gave them to you, would look like the children's ministry had a budget of, they spent $3,000 last year. The youth only spent $500. Now, that looks very bad. But the fact is, part of that $3,000 was them going to camp. That's really not a true expense. I mean, their camp tuition and vacation Bible school, those are just things we do for our children and our community here. And so if you look at that raw figure, it looks like there's a big discrepancy there between youth and children. But the fact is, there was a bounce house for our picnic. There was a water dunk tank. There was a ponies for our picnic. All those things are under children's ministry. And so they really benefit the entire church, but they look like they're all just going for that one thing. So it's going to take her some real time to actually get accurate figures that are fair for men's, women's, youth, and so forth. Children's ministry broke down like this. Is that right? In a nutshell, that's the other thing is there. So also there's one typo. Your bottom of your notes here, it says loan repayments. $3,500 is owed to the van. That word van should be the word visa. Okay, so it's a visa. It means the loan from First Texas Bank to pay the Visa card off. It's not van, it's First Texas Bank loan. And we make our payment again this month. That's going down to about $3,000, which takes place next week. And so just remember that as well. That's a visa, or it's a First Texas Bank loan. It's not a van loan. The van is paid for. Okay. Do we have any questions before I let these guys speak a little bit themselves for a while? Anything at all? Yes. Right. Yeah. The thing is now, we've had Merritt Electric. That's our main electricians we have here that come out. And they have actually fixed these lights before. They put new bulbs and new can lights. They're still trying to blink a bit even now. They also replaced, you might notice there's actually some fluorescent lights out in several classrooms upstairs and downstairs both. Every time those guys come out, it's a bill for $300 to $500. And so that's why we just are really spacing those things out. We had an electrical engineer in our service a month ago. He said he thinks these can lights are blinking because they're getting overheated, and there's probably insulation around them, and when they get too hot, they go off, and they cool down and come back on. They get too hot, go off. So we're trying to get someone to go get a ladder out here and actually go up above those can lights and look at them to see if that's really what the case is. Is there insulation around there? What's causing those things to overheat? Because he thinks it's not bad can lights, not bad bulbs. It's actually overheating of those things. And again, if I call Merritt out to do that, they're going to charge at least $500, I would guess, to $1,000. And so we see get that done. We can, little by little. In the meantime, just see it as part of our light effects in our church. We're modern. It's part of our hip look with our wood and our flashing lights, okay? And so it's just all part of that for now. We do need to get some fluorescent lights. And that's one thing AD's doing as well. Praise God for AD and for the Monchakas and so forth, getting on ladders and replacing bulbs in those fluorescent lights. In due time, we really need to get can lights like this in the whole building, because those fluorescent lights can be a real pain, because they just always are, it's like spinning plates all the time with those things. Any other questions? Yes, it's Susan. But you can talk to the head ushers. You can talk to Damien and Eddie, and then at first, and they can come to me directly as well. Our church is small enough. You can come to, of course, myself, and even come to financial committee members as well. You see here in the room, just someone like that. Let us take and follow up and get it to us, the information. We'll be sure to jump on that as well, because we're having a hard time right now getting volunteers for plumbing and for the lights. You might notice, men here might notice that this urinal back here was broke for about a month, and there's actually a clog there because of all the calcium in our water, and that happens about once a year, and that had to get cleaned out and so forth by a plumber. We can't have anybody volunteer to do that, but praise God for Dave Gibson that came and fixed the leak outside here that was been leaking for about a month. So the more we can get volunteers to do things, the more that it would help us out as well. Anything else under comments or observations or any questions? Yes. Yeah, thank you for that. And I say that, if you ever get to the point where we have to hide things or out of fear of what it may do to people out there, because and the finances may get affected negatively by doing things like this, then we're in the wrong place, because I believe very strongly, Cheryl does as well, where God guides, He provides. And so we want to be transparent. We want to make sure you guys all know that we all are owners together, stewards together of a church like this. And if we can't be transparent and put things out in the open here, probably you don't even belong here, because that's just the way we operate. So I appreciate those comments on that. Anything else? All right. Is there anything you want to share here, Dave, yourself? Let you go ahead and share some things, and maybe Jack can go after him and just kind of follow around here with you guys. Appreciate these men, and keep them all in prayer. Keep us in prayer as well. It's been a blessing having them with us. These guys are all, they're wise with their finances as well. They're wise in their family. They've been wise stewards. If they see their life, not just in the spiritual realm, but also the realm of the finances and so forth, be wise people with those things, and they always give us some good advice and good help. Did you have something else here? You do that, don't you? You actually want to write letters. You actually copy those and send them out by emails. Oh, the website. So letters are on the website. Yeah. Yeah. Who does not really want those letters very much? I don't. What's that? Yes. Right. Yes, I know it's. Yeah. Yeah, it's about 120. Or maybe 150. Right. Right. Yes. That's a good idea. And that's one of those kind of what you call like guilty pleasure for myself as well, because when I actually do those letters, I go through writing on those little notes in there and so forth, I'm actually seeing your faces. I'm seeing the people in the congregation. I'm actually having little prayer points and just things that sometimes even come to me and so forth for that person. And so it's just kind of like me getting a little guilty pleasure myself. Those probably cost about $70 and I send them out or whatever else I think in postage. And hopefully postage won't get much higher than what it is. And I've cut back to sending those out about once a month as opposed to, I was sending them out every 2 weeks or so, but I'm doing about once a month now as well. And so just I'll think about that as well, but that's just some little deal. As long as the budget's there, I'll try to get those going out. These guys give me $200 a month to spend as my budget. And so that's part of my budget as well so far is with those. But I'll think about that as being a cut in the future. Is there anything else, other comments back here? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, you want to explain more about some details on that yourself? What's your projection? Yeah, if you just make even $500 a month to begin with, that'll be good. That's like that income would come in pretty handy, I mean, I know, in the church. Anything else? Yes.
Sorry, hold on. So, I'm not a
you start with Cheryl, I mean, not Cheryl, but Kristen here, you know, that, because she's like the church admin, works in the office, give her, run things by her. She's ministry coordinator as well here, so just talk to her first. Anything else? Well, thank you guys so much for being here. Just keep on praying. You know, just pray for us to have continued wisdom and guidance here in the realm of finances, to be just like I pray from the pulpit, to be wise stewards of all that God gives us, and God will do that. Pray for members of our congregation as well, that they'll be those who have the faith to be able to release tithes, release offerings in the church, because there is, even like David said, there is enough here to make sure all the needs are met, just like most churches. But unfortunately, not all folks can feel like they can do that, can bring in tithes and so forth in a church. But it does take, of course, money to keep going. So we want to just be able to make sure we're doing good and well on both ends here, those that are full givers and those that would like to give. We want to honor all of them equally and be a blessing to them, God, and help their lives. All right? All right, let's pray. Thank you guys for being here. Let's just ask God to use this night and use this year before us the way He wants. Father, we can give You thanks and praise for Your faithfulness. We thank You, Lord God, that we can just look at the last year, 2015, and say, thank You, Lord God, that the needs of this congregation, this church, were met because, Father God, You were faithful through Your people. We pray, God, that You'd give us, Lord, continued wisdom and guidance in the realm of finances. Help us, Lord, to be those who see things around us, oh God, that can be fixed, that can be improved, that can be breathed on by Your Spirit. We pray, God, help us be a greater blessing as well to our children, to our youth, to our adults in all realms, because we're here to do the ministry of the Lord, to be, O God, your hands, your voice, to be preparing people for works of service, to make disciples, to spread the gospel, O God, and be those who reach the uttermost parts of the world all at the same time. We pray, God, we have the ability to do that more and more and more this year of 2016 and in the years ahead. And we also agree, Father God, You're going to restore everything the enemy has stolen from any person, God, in this church or this congregation. We're in a time, God, a season of restoration, a time of rebuilding, a time of new things, a time of remodeling. And let it, Father God, be something that shall have Your stamp and Your breath and Your life and Your wisdom applied to that. We find ourselves moving in the timing of the Spirit, the provision of God. We bind fear and we bind intimidation. We also bind unbelief. And we thank You, Father God, for being able to sow into the things You ask us and call us to do in obedience to Your will. And Father, we give You praise and thanks tonight that our sleep will be sufficient. We find ourselves coming back here this weekend, rejoicing in all the good things You've done in us and through us this week. We give praise and thanks for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here. It's a good time together.